Like gnomes to the hourglass. These
like gnomes
are the songs of all our lives.
These are gnomes.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Songs of Our Lives. I'm Brad Rose. I'm an artist, a composer, a writer, the founder of Foxy Digitalis, and somebody who thinks about music and sound far more than is healthy. Each week, I invite on a guest to talk about the songs and the music that has meant a lot to them and left its mark. Previous guests include Jeff Parker, Leia, Alan Licht, Jason Woodbury, Tomine, Sarah Hennies, Claire Rousset, so many more. This week, I am so excited to have Yada on the show. I've been a big fan of their work for a long time, and then they put out this album a month or two ago, Palm Wine, and I just kind of was left speechless, even though I'm sitting here rambling on and up. But it is, easily one of my favorite albums of the year. I'd say it and that Bajiki album, Joe Rainey. Previously a guest on the show. Anyway, those two are probably the two I have just listened to the most, even though the Yada album just came out. You know, I've only had it a couple months. I've listened to it a million freaking times. It is incredible. When this opportunity presented itself, I had to do it, and it was as much fun as I thought it would be, even more probably. So, the quick programming note, this is going to be the last new episode for the year since Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve are on Tuesdays. It feels like a weird day to put out new episodes because people are real busy. I'm going to try and do a sort of best of episode of the first 65 episodes. We'll see if I get to it. Keep an eye out. Otherwise, new episodes return the first Tuesday in January, and that will actually be something special and a bit of a surprise, changing it up a bit. So, this was great. Yada is great. Palm Wine is great. And enjoy the episode. My guest today is a vocalist, a producer, a composer, a poet, other things as well. It's Yada. Woo! Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So how's it going?
Pretty good. It's overcast, it's rainy, it's cold, but yeah. I like to be inside, so yeah. It's fine with me.
And on cold, like overcast, rainy days, those are the best days to just be inside and try to get cozy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good for me.
Palm Wine is your new record, and it mm-hmm. is out now on PTP. Full disclosure, it's like legit one of my two or three favorite records of this year.
Wow, thank you.
It's so good. There's a lot of things I could ask about it, but I kind of want to start with the Palm Wine, the genre, because that was... I guess that was like new to me. Mm-hmm. And if you could just talk a little bit about that, like how you kind of incorporated that into the album and how it sort of, played a role in it.
Yeah. So I didn't go into the album with anything but the desire to understand what my version of pop music would be. Mm. Through that journey, I began research on, I began writing on what ease and wandering and hobbies could feel like for me, mm-hmm. And leisure. I was writing essays, poetry, prose that led me to think about the types of music that I associated with that those mental spaces. Mm-hmm. And that brought me to guitar music. Elizabeth Cotton comes to mind, mm-hmm. but before that, actually, it was indie finger-picking music that I listened to growing up, like some of the, maybe a couple of the artists we'll talk about later. Mm-hmm. But this music that felt like wistful and brooding, but earthy and mm-hmm. like a freedom yeah. that I wanted to feel. And I believe that I was wanting to accept my taste for what it is yeah. rather than divorce myself from it in order to understand why I liked it. Because that to me felt funny and like strange. Yeah, so that's kind of the journey I went on, and I was fixated on this phrase iron and palm wine that kind of felt like it encapsulated the space that I was meditating on. Mm-hmm. And then I started, and you know, there was actually this video that I found probably like 10 years ago of this guitarist named Sammy Odo, who's Ghanaian, and he's just a guy in his living room playing guitar. That's actually something I should have shared with you. but it's this really beautiful video. Let me see how many views it has. Okay, so it has 52,000 views, and it was uploaded 12 years ago. And it says,
oh, wow.
It says, palm wine guitar music, or palm wine guitar is an indigenous way of playing African guitar. And oh, I had wow. held on to that video forever. I didn't look further into it. But then I started to research what palm wine was just from laughing to myself about iron and palm wine. And then I listened to this music more, and it had the finger picking that I was really drawn to when feeling my way into rest and ease. And so I was speaking to my family about this type of music, and my mom, I found S.E. Roji, and I found this video of him playing I Wish I Were a Cowboy. And I was really drawn to that video because in like 2017, I released this single, Cowboys Are Black and Techno Is Too. So this is like pre Little Nas X noise screaming. Right. in like, you know, some DIY space here. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw the cowboy thing, I was like, oh my God, yeah, me too. And then I asked my mom about S.E. Roji, and she was like, that's your granduncle.
It's amazing.
And so I was like, that is freaking crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
That's insane. This all came from me like playing around about this white guitar music that I've always been right. drawn to. So yeah, then I was like, I'm so glad I listened to myself, because I think there's a tendency in our culture to shy away from, I think it's, I actually think it's like an millennial thing, but, and like identity politics thing, but to shy away from like your genuine curiosities in the service of being like politically pure. Mm-hmm. But had I negated that questioning, I wouldn't have figured this out. So I'm really grateful that I didn't.
Yeah, that I'm like watching this Sammy Odo video. It's incredible. And there, yeah, like I'm gonna go down the whole this whole like rabbit hole. Because like I was familiar with like Ghanaian like high life music and stuff, and I'm guessing there's a lot of connections there, but this is amazing.
It's so beautiful.
And he's just sitting in his living room.
I know, it's the most beautiful. Yeah. So I think I've returned to this video for like 10 years.
Wow. How many of those 52,000 views are you?
It's interesting. Yeah, talking about this, I realize how much I fixate. I guess, you know, people who love music, you have your weird niche YouTube video that you found.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's really interesting. Yeah, and this is kind of a weird aside. So I am from and I live in Oklahoma. And so just thinking about cowboys. There are a number of all black towns in Oklahoma that were, and one of them is this, there's a town called Boley, and they have one of the longest running, I feel like it's been going on for like 100 years or something, but it's a black rodeo every year in the summer. And I've been once, and it's just such an unbelievable experience. Like, so I think it's something you'd probably like really appreciate it, because it's really just, it's such a cool thing. And it's a lot of people come like from all over the state and the region. And it's just this like big rodeo celebration party thing. I don't know, but
what time of year is it?
It's in the summer. So it's like, it's okay. Really hot, and it's really, cause Oklahoma summers are rough.
Yeah. I've never been.
Yeah. It's usually like, I'm trying to think, I think I want to say it's in like, July or August maybe.
Okay.
But it's, yeah, so random aside, but
yeah, I mean, I'm from Texas, and there's a, well, right outside of Houston, and there's a rodeo, there's a black rodeo there, and I've never been. I have to go this year.
I
skipped it last year. I don't know what was happening, but I have to go.
Yeah, I'm looking. Oh, it looks like it's in May. Okay. So there you go.
Yeah. But,
May 24th, 2025. That's when the Boley Rodeo is.
May 24th.
Yeah. Okay,
cool.
Oh, man, that's the day after my birthday. So I guess that's going to be like my. But they have like, it's like a whole day thing. There's like a car show, and there's like a parade. And there's.
Wow.
It's just, it's so cool.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But yeah, I already know that like after I get done with this, I'm going to just explore palm wine guitar music for the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah. If you find anything that you love, send my way.
Okay. I will. I'm curious too. Like, so you recorded this record kind of all over the place, right? Like you in like LA, you were in some in Houston, you said, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious, like how the, you know, recording and writing in different locations, like if that influenced the process or just like even the sort of sonic landscape of the album. Cause it,
great question. I think the moving made it harder. Mm. It definitely did. Made it harder to understand, because I had so much music that I didn't know what the core of it was for a while. And it was very stop start. And so there are different starts that I can remember. Like big moments are like being in upstate New York and starting to write Circle, the first song, being in, LA and finishing Taxi, which is like at the end. And that's like 2 years later. Being last year, putting the drums on No Greater Love after having started the song in LA 2 years earlier. So it was just like, not only were different songs written in different places, but different parts of the songs were made in different places. It's a miracle that it came together. I'm not very organized with my files. And I definitely lost a full hard drive that I just let go.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I live in the art of detachment. I lose things all the time.
Yeah. I feel that too. And then I begin to wonder if they were even real to begin with.
Exactly. I'm like, what was even on there? I couldn't tell you. So there's some, you know, there's like Enya at the Market. There were beautiful stems on a hard drive that could have done like crazy sound design, but nope. Kept it flat, kept it, you know, together. And that's just what it had to be.
That's really interesting too. Like just thinking about, you know, like you're saying, like you started a track and then like 2 years later, go back to finish. It's almost like time traveling too.
Definitely. It feels that way. And I think like a lot of it are these like micro cycles of lessons that form like a big macro cycle and completion of that cycle. So it's almost like revisiting the songs. I was like, bringing back new information from the future.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Dang. That's pretty awesome. Well, okay. I'm going to ask real quick too, about, I want to ask about the MTV video because I absolutely love this video and it captures such, like, it reminds me of being 14 and having band practice and like, and hanging out and just, I'm just curious, like where it was shot and, I don't know, kind of the inspiration behind it or how it came together.
Yeah. I mean, I'd been talking to, sometimes I want to say I was thinking, but I always start off by saying talking to, and then I have to say myself. So I was thinking about, Africans living in the suburbs, like my family did and does, and these like little pockets of immigrant communities, specifically in Houston, where like your whole community can be really self-contained, like have the grocery stores you go to, have the families that you know, and it's almost like you live in your own little universe. So I was thinking about that and juxtaposing it with like the suburban landscape of just like staying inside a lot, not really, at least for me, being in nature that much, or having nature be really strange, intermixed with concrete and all these things,
right.
Strip malls. But yeah, so for the video, I wanted to like zoom into African suburbia. And that to me meant like an elder being in the house, watching TV, and the younger person having like a thriving inner world or life. That's kind of like separate from that elder world. So I wanted to bring that to life, and it was a big project. Lots of people worked on it, and I learned a lot. I learned a lot. Very talented people, like some of my favorite artists. The set designer was Ma Bedros, who runs this space called Moss Furniture Garden, and it's just like the most intricate, detailed set design work. And I mean, I studied film, but I kind of forget it until I get in that atmosphere. And I'm like, oh my God, the world building that you can do with film is so cool.
Thing about like the MTV is it also, to me, there was parts of it that felt so familiar. Mm. Like, just like band, we used to have band practices at my grandparents' house. And because they had, and like,
was it believable garage. As a band practice? I never got to be in a band, so it was also me living out that fantasy.
Yeah, totally. Because it was less band practice and it was more like hanging out. It was like hanging out with like practicing in between.
Yeah,
like that's, and that was, but it was like that was my teen year. I kind of, there's days now where I'm like, gosh, I should start a band just so I can have an excuse to have people come hang out and have band practice.
Right. It's always been the dream. Yeah.
Yeah. But you can tell like a lot of work when it, like, it looks so good. Like the whole thing is just, y'all did an amazing job with it. So
thank you. It's amazing crew cats. Thank you.
Okay. Well, this will be a good segue into, you know, talking about teen years and being a kid and growing up. And so we'll get into the real, not the real questions, but the format. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. And so, as ever, we're going to start with the question of what is the first song that you remember?
Mm-hmm. I think I put Sarafina. Sarafina came from the movie Sarafina, which was scored by Hugh Masekela, who I also grew up listening to. Yeah, that's the first song I remember. And I had like a, you know, we had a VHS set up and there were a few tapes and that movie musical was one of them. So I just watched it over and over again.
I feel like I've seen the musical a number of times, but I can't remember the last time I had seen it. But yeah, this song, it just kind of felt like pure sunshine or something.
100%. It's like so joyous in a way that I don't even resonate with at this moment, but seems really amazing to feel.
I know.
It's the sunniest music and it's about really heavy, painful time, but
speaking of not feeling particularly sunny, what is a song that will make you cry?
So I'm gonna try and, okay, so I was thinking like music hasn't necessarily made me cry in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I did see the Supyon Stevens musical Illinois.
Mm.
And so I started re-listening to him and his song Kazimir Pulaski Day. Pulaski Day? Kazimir Pulaski Day. That song makes me cry. Has made me at least feel the welling that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't listened, like most of the times I've listened to Sufjan in the last couple of years has been when he comes up on this show.
Uh-huh. Does he come up a lot?
I think this is like the third or fourth time. So not a ton, okay. But, and it's usually, I feel like every time it's maybe been this question.
No way. Okay. I have another one actually, but yes. Yeah.
Cause I feel like a lot of his stuff does have, like he has this way of sort of capturing these very specific like feelings, but in a way that are relatable. I don't know. There's something and then musically and like melodically, it just kind of heightens whatever the lyrical content is. Like he's really good at.
He's really, so good.
Yeah.
I think seeing the musical just made me realize just how genius the music is. Cause I listened to it at a time where I wasn't thinking about what it's like to make music, but now listening back, I'm like, damn, this is intricate stuff. I want to see if I can make sure I say it correctly. Kazimir Pulaski Day.
Seems right.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you say you thought of another song too?
Yeah, because we were talking about the Iron and Wine thing. His cover of Such Great Heights by the Postal Service, that one hits.
Yeah.
Then what? I'm like, does a present music make me cry? Not so much.
Yeah, It's a hard. I mean, I often kind of It's like if, like you said, it doesn't necessarily make you cry, but it, you kind of feel that way.
Yeah, and you know, I'm like, gosh, I hope I'm not an artist that gets stuck in nostalgia. I keep hearing about that actually, and I think this project really was a, like a transmutation of inner child questionings or something. So, you know, my goal is that hopefully next project will be a look forward. Anyway.
That sounds, that'll be really interesting. I'm excited to see what that will be down the road someday. Okay, well, what's a song that'll put you in a better mood or uplift your spirit?
So I put controversial Kanye West every hour. Sometimes, like, when I'm low, I will just hear the first line of that song sung with the choir in my head. And I'm like, oh, okay, that'll help.
Yeah.
So good, this whole album.
I mean, there's I don't, you know, that's a whole conversation. Like,
it sure is.
But, like, I mean, I still, like, for me, I think, like, 808s and Heartbreak is, like, one of the top 10 albums of the last 30 years or something. And
do people ever say Kanye on this show?
No, I'm trying to remember if I feel like Kanye, his mate, I can't remember if Kanye's come up now that we talk about this. I feel like we've had conversations about, like, when, I don't know, whenever you get into separating the art from the artist and all those kind of things. And it's like, yeah, I mean, and Kanye, and then obviously, like, everybody has their line. Everybody has, you know, and I'm not going to tell people what to do, but, like, this is, like, legitimately great.
It's just an amazing song, and it's less than 2 minutes long. It's just like a punch of,
yeah,
levity and
Did you, like, growing up or anything, like, did you have, do you have a lot, like, experience, like, going, like, with church choirs and it all?
Yeah, I mean, not church choir. Church was pretty stiff.
Yeah,
but definitely church every Sunday.
Same. And it was, and it was very, the music was kind of dreadful.
Yeah, it wasn't amazing.
No,
unfortunately.
Like, when I hear things like this, and it's just like, I don't know that I've ever had what I would consider a religious experience, but, like, I don't know, this feels like a religious experience, like what I imagine a religious experience, like some kind of supernatural connection with something. It's like, this is it in sonic form.
Yeah, the harmonies and all the, yeah, the arrangement is just insane.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love this. I was really excited when I saw this on here, and I was like, oh, good. Now, the excuse, I hadn't listened to it in a minute, and I was like, it's a good excuse to just, like you said, it's like a less than 2 minutes long. Just put it on repeat for like 20 minutes, and
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah. All right, well, everybody's favorite question, what is objectively the best song of all time?
Yeah, that was crazy. I said, I think My Love Is Your Love by Whitney Houston.
Love it.
And I was listening to it, and I was feeling like, okay, why this song? And I mean, well, I think, you know, I don't know if I'm supposed to talk like you gave me the questions.
Or not. Yeah, no, no, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So,
so I'm not shy about this. This stuff's too hard to come up with off the top of your head.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, I think when you said if an alien showed up and you wanted to show them the height of sonic achievement, what would it be? So, okay, I chose this song. I was like, why? I mean, okay, she's talking about love. She's also bringing in like a little bit of commentary about the world.
Mm-hmm.
And she's has the best voice ever.
And she's Whitney Houston.
And, yeah, and she's Whitney Houston. So yeah, it would be like Alien. This is what's going on. One, best voice. Two, love. Three, world commentary. Four, you know, there's a great sample of her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So I would tell the alien about sampling. Yeah. I would tell the alien that there's a beautiful break in the chorus. That's amazing. Yeah. I would just, this is one where I would be able to explain why music is great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can't argue with it. Like, I mean, and I mean, gosh, just the line of, and the chains of Amistad couldn't hold us.
Oh my God. That is next level. Are you kidding me?
It's like, yeah, whenever.
Yeah. Well, oh, you know what? I'm remembering why that meant so much to me as a child, because another VHS we had was Amistad.
Oh.
And I remember my mom saying that someone in our family was in that film, and he wasn't an actor, but he was Sierra Leonean, and that was part of the film. So oh, that's cool. I think, yeah, as a child, I was like, oh my God, she said Amistad.
Right.
I know about Amistad. And this video is amazing. This song is what the world's about. Or this, I know. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. Whitney. And it's fucking Whitney Houston. Yeah, like you said, she's like the greatest singer to ever walk the face of the earth, if you ask me. So, aliens should, this is what they should be sending out into space. Like, just if you want 100%. Aliens to come visit us, just send Whitney out into space. Like, I mean, not her, but yeah, anyway. Okay, well, these next few questions, I don't know if you have answers for them, but we're gonna go through and we're gonna see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So what's a song you used to love but now not so much?
Well, I was on my way to a show with friends leaving a show and driving the car. And somehow Norah Jones came up and I loved her when I was younger. And so I put on her rendition of Cold Cold Heart by Hank Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the power of my mind, because in my head she sang it as a country song, but when we put it on, it was like this bossa nova song. I was like, oh my God, this is not where I wanted to take us. Stick to the original, my bad.
Yeah, that's really funny.
Yeah, so I think that fell a little flat.
Yeah,
but she's got an amazing voice.
Yeah, I mean, she can, but yeah, I don't want to hear that as bossa nova.
No, I didn't even know it was until that moment. Yeah,
I'm just imagining, like, yeah, leaving a show late at night and like going for a certain mood, and then
yeah, and I was trying to show someone the power of Nora, but it didn't work so well.
Well, okay. What's a song that people don't like? People hate it. I don't know. It's criticized. You don't care about it. You love it.
Let's see. Gosh. A song that people hate and I love. Oh, yeah. All the things that are coming up are too problematic. I already said, okay. I can't do it.
I mean, you know, yeah, I guess we could just count, count every hour. All in
I mean, the first thing that came up is that song Sandstorm. By who is that even by?
I don't know. I'm looking it up because I don't know if I know.
When you hear it, you'll know.
Oh, okay.
Are you listening to it?
I am working on it here. Let's see. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
I know. I really like that song.
Gosh, that's like got to be one of the most sort of like iconic synth things in the last, like.
I know, it's so good. So that's something that I could see, I could accept and appreciate someone hating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that
there's so many reasons to hate it. I love it.
No, this is like the perfect answer for this because I imagine a lot of people would just cringe as soon as this came on, but
this is a pretty powerful rips. Answer.
Yeah.
Like, the other one I was gonna say was let's stick with this.
Okay. I love it. All right, well, what's the most romantic song?
I Only Have Eyes for You, The Flamingos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think of yourself as a romantic?
Yes. A gatekept romantic. Yeah. So it exists, but it's not an active. Yeah, it's not active.
This song is, it's so like dreamy. And
it's so beautiful.
Oh my God. The background vocals, like that, the core, choir or whatever it is. Oh my gosh, it's just,
yeah, it's perfect. This is like the opposite of Sandstorm.
Yeah, like whenever I make the playlist for this episode and those two are back to back, it's gonna be really jarring.
Ooh, that's gonna be good.
I know, I love it. And it's really interesting, this song, I think you're the third or fourth person that picked this song for this question, which I feel like if there was like, what is it objectively the most romantic song?
Yeah.
It's kind of this, because
that's
everything
perfect
about it.
I feel like love makes us so normal. It's just kind of like opinionless almost. So it makes sense that a lot of us would have the same opinion. In the face of love, you have very few opinions.
And I think there's something about this song that it so sort of perfectly captures that feeling of just I don't know, you're, it's like the cartoon, like with hearts, their eyes,
yeah, it's like a spell
out. This song is like a spell. Ooh, I like that. Okay, well, what's a song that changed your perspective on an artist, either for better or worse?
I guess thinking about pop right now, mm-hmm. two songs come up. One, Camila Cabello, I Love It, featuring Playboi Carti. And then the other one is Bed Chem by Sabrina Carpenter. And I think these are both names that I had heard, mm-hmm. but hadn't known who they were. And I think it's sort of like a testament to what their careers have been like, which is like making music for a very long time and then sort of like choosing a direction that somehow aligns with the mainstream ethos.
Yeah, that is kind of, like, that's an interesting thing to think, just thinking about, because I've had that, I mean, we've all had that experience, but where it's like, yeah, I've heard this name for so long and then finally heard it or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of times where it's like, oh, this is not at all what I thought it was going to be, like, for better or worse sometimes. But
yeah.
I don't even know if I can, I'm sure if I heard of that Camila Cabello song, I'd remember it, but like, I know the Sabrina Carpenter song.
Mm-hmm.
my kid's been listening to Sabrina Carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm to the point now where my kid's, like, turning me on to pop music.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I know. I love it.
But yeah, that is, I don't know. I yeah, it's always interesting when, like, things find you or you find things or when their sort of moment is, I don't know. And a lot of it's kind of probably just totally random, actually. But
right.
Okay. Well, what are your favorite lyrics? And are lyrics a big thing for you? Like, do you pay close attention to lyrics? Can they make or break a song?
No, I'm not sure. I haven't thought of it. I haven't thought of that so much. Do I pay attention to lyrics? Only if they jump out at me. But my relationship to lyrics has changed a lot over time. I go in and out, but I think Sabrina Carpenter is an amazing lyricist. And yeah, witty, quick, cheeky, and that's a reason why I loved Amy Winehouse too.
Yeah,
I really love the, like, yeah, a little cheeky, in love but smarter than what they seem. So that's the type of lyricism I really like. It's like, so yeah, it's playful and wise at the same time, and like flirty too.
Which feels like a really hard needle to thread.
Definitely.
And which makes it, I mean, that's, yeah, like, which makes it so impressive. It's like, because that can go, like, kind of off the rails really easily.
Right. Yeah. Because they're just saying what they think in ways that tickle them. And on first listen, it may seem really simple. But then on second listen, you're like, wow, that is really wise, profound, cheeky. Right. Yeah. It's, yeah, like that. That's not a, that's, yeah, it's so clear about it. It's, yeah, it's so, it's, yeah, I don't know. It's just, yeah, no. On it. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I totally get what you mean. Okay. That's, yeah. So I'll just put, like, Camila Cabello and Sabrina Carpenter for these last two. That'll be the playlist. Those two songs.
Cool. Wait, let me hear that. Let me hear the Camila Cabello song. So I'm like, is there a lyric in there? I think it's honestly one sound she makes. Hold on. I have to find this. I think it's just this. I wish I could share my sound with you.
I pulled the video up too, so now we got. This video is wild too. Wow.
No.
This is great. Okay, I have heard this song, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
Oh yeah, yeah. This song, yeah.
I think, yeah, it's like, just that her delivery and also the way that Playboi Carti comes in. And it's just, honestly, the song is mostly just vibes. It's not saying, I don't know. I was looking into the producer the other day. Whatever, I get nerdy about all this stuff. I could go on and on.
I'm right there with you. Yeah. Yeah, no, this is, God, this is like, okay, I got a lot of stuff I'm going to be listening to.
This is a kind of crazy playlist.
Yeah.
Oh, Kanye, Camila Cabello, The Flamingos.
Okay. Yeah, Sandstorm.
Sandstorm, I forgot about.
Can't forget Sandstorm. Yeah. Hey.
And then I should say, I Wish I Were a Cowboy by S.E. Richards.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that because that's come. But yeah, that's like, yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Okay. So I think you picked what is a lyric you thought you knew, but then you learned it was something else and it kind of blew your mind.
Right. I thought I would figure it out by now.
This is a hard question.
Because I like that question. Yeah. I thought I would. Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. Well.
Well, actually, when I saw that question, I sent the song by Essie Roji to my mom. To okay. Oh, she just texted me back to translate this. It's a song by Lovely Elizabeth. And there's a part that's in Mende, which I don't speak. Mm. And I was like, what does the Mende part say? It's actually so beautiful. And she said, my friend, why are you so greedy to take my lovely Elizabeth, the lady that I love? So I guess I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it meant. I didn't try to guess, but I did ask today when I was thinking of the question.
That's really, oh, I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the best hype song?
Oh, I mean, if it's not Sandstorm, Lose My Fair. Breath by Destiny's Child.
Yeah.
Or Missy Elliott's song. Or yes, that's
Yeah. Sandstorm, though. Yeah. I'm going to annoy my kid with it when she gets home.
Yeah.
Okay. Last two questions. Two big questions, sort of. So we've kind of already talked about this. What is the song that means the most to you?
Vulindela by Brenda Fassie. That song is the song that would make everyone at the weddings go to the dance floor. And I just, that's how you use a synth correctly. That yeah. song. It's so good. Her voice is amazing. It's so epic. And then the mm-hmm. breakdown, like the lead in, like the very beginning, is so sweeping and epic. And then the breakdown is so good. And yeah, she's just a boss.
Yeah.
She really commands the moment with her voice.
Yeah, one of my notes on here is like, this is a song, as soon as when you hear it, you have to just get up and move your body.
Exactly. It's like a command.
Yeah, it is. And she's, like you said, like, it just, her voice kind of just, it weirdly stops everything because you can't mm-hmm. not, but it also makes you want to move. She's incredible.
She really and
died way too young.
I know.
I was listening to this and then just kind of like, let YouTube keep playing her songs, and it's just like every song is just incredible.
Yeah, and the music videos for Lux, all of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The video for this is so great. God. Yeah. I mean, it's just
She's so like, amazing.
I always think it's like, you know, I mean, yeah, she should have been like the biggest pop star in the world.
Yeah.
Damn it. Like
definitely. I think things would have looked very different.
Yeah. The world is fucked up. So, okay. Well, what's your favorite song? At least in this moment in time, what is your
favorite song?
I mean, you can go with "I Wish I Was a Cowboy."
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Yeah, I like that. That's my favorite song.
It's so I still can't believe that he's your granduncle.
I can't either. I have to. There's a lot of stuff I need to figure out. I need to find his son.
I don't remember where we kind of dropped off there, but I think we probably kind of got through it.
Yeah, thanks so much. It was great. I had a great time. This is a really cool concept.
Once again, a million thanks to Yada. We had a bunch of technical difficulties throughout. A couple different things happened, but we got through it. It's kind of, if the ending is a little odd and abrupt, that's why. But hey, we got through the whole thing, and maybe you didn't get to exchange as many pleasantries as I would hope, but hey, what can you do? Go check out Palm Wine. It's out on PCP right now, which one of the best labels on the planet, just in case you're wondering. put out three things at the end of the year, and all of them are unbelievably good. So, yeah, Palm Wine out now. Pick it up. Listen to Yada's playlist, link in the show notes. If you enjoy the show, please leave a review and a rating wherever you listen to podcasts, because that helps with all the algorithmic bullshit. And you can always join the Patreon, patreon.com/foxydigitalis, for as little as $3 a month. You can get these episodes early. They're unedited, the unabridged versions. There's a whole extra section and yeah, some other stuff. And it's just a lot of fun. And that ongoing support really helps the cause. So thank you to everybody who signed up. That's it. Until next time, keep on listening to whatever the hell you want.